The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome along to episode 30 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast with me, Stephen Mill, and him, Ewan Cameron. How are you doing, Ewan?
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
I'm very well, yes.
We've just been talking about wrestling.
Yeah.
Can I just say this? I want to put this on the record. Anyone over the age of 18 who loves wrestling are weird. I remember watching wrestling many years ago.
Wrestling's one of the most popular forms of entertainment in the world.
I'm not suggesting that it isn't a popular form of entertainment, but anyone over the age of 18, I'll give you 21. Anyone over the age of 21 who loves the wrestling.
Wait, what about 23? 23? We'll go with 23.
Okay, 23 is a good year.
What about 25?
No, 25. 25. I think once you get to 25, you should be settled down, maybe have a long-term girlfriend, look at getting your own house, getting onto the property ladder. You can't be wearing wrestling t-shirts. You can't be watching the wrestling. You can't be sitting up at 3 o'clock in the morning on Sky watching the WWE Wrestling Mania 23 million.
I bet you there's a big crossover between people who listen to this podcast and like wrestling.
You think there's a lot of people who listen to this podcast would be into WWE? What is it, F or E?
E. WWE. I think there's probably quite a lot of people, yes.
I liked wrestling when I was a kid. When I was a kid, it was Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
It was Bret the Hitman Hart. It was Andre the Giant. It was the British Bulldog. Remember the British Bulldog?
Sadly, no longer with us.
He's no longer with us. David Boy Smith. Can't remember the other boy's name. Because they were a tag team as well.
Mm-hmm.
British Bulldog tag team.
I remember that.
Yeah. Who else was there? Who was the guy that had the snake?
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that had the face paint and the mad hair and he had all these tassels hanging from his arm?
Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, Ultimate Warrior. Loved the Ultimate Warrior. But see, that was when I was a kid.
Randy Savage.
Randy Savage is a good one. And I remember that KFC had a promotion at the time with the WWF, as it was known at that particular time, and used to go and buy certain amounts of chicken to get yourself a Hulk Hogan. And I remember buying lots of chicken to get a Hulk Hogan.
What do you mean to get a Hulk Hogan? Like a figurine?
Figurine. Not the actual Hulk Hogan himself, but an actual figurine of Hulk Hogan.
Be good.
He was a stretchy Hulk Hogan. You pulled him and he stretched.
If you had, numerous bottomless buckets of KFC and then Hulk Hogan just turned up at yours. Hey, brother. Hey, you've been eating chicken, brother. It's me, the Hulkster. Anyway, we're going to look back on a big round of fixtures in the Scottish Premiership and every other league as well. We'll need to talk about that Dundee United howler at the weekend, and it was so bad that Inter Callum has now quit the show.
He's gone. Can we not phone him to find out what he thought of the Dundee United keeper?
He's on his holidays.
I know he's on his holidays.
He's having a week's holiday, so...
You don't want to upset him.
I don't want to upset him, absolutely not.
I mean, it was funny.
It was hilarious. And there was an amazing sort of compilation video that somebody put together on social media of just Berighetti since he joined Dundee United and all the goals that he's conceded that have just been honking. Like, it's not been a good time. Right, we'll look ahead to the Viaplay Cup final at Hampden this weekend as well. Rangers versus Celtic at the National Stadium, and it is the first silverware dished out of the season. It's going to be a big one, and in honour of the big day last week, we'll look back if Scottish football were Valentine's Day. Now, there was a bit of confusion, I think, over this, because a lot of them we can't actually read out on a podcast.
They were disgusting.
They were. It was filth.
Pure unadulterated filth.
It was like if Scottish football were a porno. If that's your level of Valentine's Day, your other halves they're in for a torrid time.
I suspect they don't have another half and they spend a lot of their time on Pornhub.
Yeah, and I tell you what, like, there was one involving Blair Spittle, and I'm not even going to go any further than that. Because it was so graphic, even by my standards. So remember, you can get us on all your usual podcast providers and on Twitter as well, at Big Football Scott. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. Just search for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Right, let's get stuck into today's episode. So where would you like to start, Ewan Cameron?
Should we do in chronological order?
We'll do in chronological order and therefore alphabetical order.
Yes.
So we'll do that as well. So we'll start with Celtic 4, Aberdeen 0 at the weekend. It was a walk in the park.
It was 4 going on 10. Celtic were in third gear. They didn't even have to get out of third gear. It was very easy for them. I thought Aberdeen were poor again, playing against Celtic. I thought Celtic again are easily the best team in Scotland. They're easy on the eye. They score good goals. I thought they were superb again. So yeah, Celtic winning 4-0. Aberdeen have got a lot of work to do. Need a new manager.
Yeah.
Speculation that Gordon Strachan could be taken over.
I mean, that would be blockbuster, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good character, great personality. Although I didn't like interviewing him back in the day when I worked on the Real Radio Football phone-in with Alan Ruff.
This is the Real Football phone-in with Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now on 0845 100 2101.
Me.
Have I told a story about how we fell out being Gordon Strachan?
Probably, yes.
Did I tell you about the time that you apologised to me at a Wet 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 concert?
Yes.
I told you that?
Yeah.
Is this something that I told on the podcast?
On the podcast, because I started playing Angel Eyes from then until the end of the show and pretending I was Gordon
Strachan. And this is definitely on the podcast?
Definitely on the
podcast. So I don't need to tell you the time that Gordon Strachan apologised to me.
Apologised at a Wet 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 concert, yeah.
It was after the gig when my wife and his wife went off to meet the band. Me and Gordon were stood together.
Did you not want to meet the band?
I was already pals with him.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I've got Marty's number. So if I ever want to meet him, I can just phone him.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, not that I'm name dropping.
Yeah.
I've got quite a few decent names on my phone. Do you want me to read out some? I've got Neil Lennon's number.
Right, okay.
I've got David Murray, the former Rangers chief executive and owner of the club. I've got his number.
Okay.
Have
they got a WhatsApp?
Yes, they do.
Can you tell me what the little bio says?
Let me type in Neil Lennon.
Right, okay. N-E-I-L... L-E-N-N-O-N.
He's not on WhatsApp.
He's not on WhatsApp. Hey there, I'm not using WhatsApp.
I've got to invite him.
Right, invite him.
No, I'm not inviting him.
Invite him to use WhatsApp.
No, I'm not.
Invite him to use WhatsApp.
I'm not inviting Neil Lennon to do WhatsApp. He's clearly not on WhatsApp for a reason. Right, David Murray, chief executive and owner of Rangers.
Chairman.
Chairman. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, so it's D-A-V.
I know how it works.
I'm just keeping you right.
He has got WhatsApp.
Right, he has got WhatsApp, right?
There's no contact info. Craig Levine's picture is a cat.
Right, okay.
Look.
I don't know if that's a cat.
Oh, it's a dog.
It's a dog. See, this is why I spell things out for you, because you can't tell the difference between a dog and a cat.
His picture's a dog.
Send him a message.
No.
And say, is that a dog or a cat? And your picture. We're looking for clarification.
Any other names?
I don't know who's in your phone, Ewan.
Oh, so,
Nelson Mandela, you got his numbers here on WhatsApp. Anyway, Rio Hatate.
Yeah.
Another 2 goals at the weekend, man of the match. Yeah.
He's not just a decent midfielder, but he's also good at fullback as well. That boy's got talent, isn't he?
He's got a lot of talent. No Aaron Moy, David Turnbull, Kyogo was on the bench. But they are all fit for Sunday's match against Rangers, according to Ange Postecoglou. 15th consecutive win at home in the league. They've only dropped 2 points out of 19 league games. Aberdeen, on the other hand, 7 straight losses for the first time in 24 years. Let's move on chronologically to Dundee United 1 St Johnstone 2. It was a big one at Tannadice on Saturday. Dundee United won. It would have dragged St Johnstone right back into it, but they didn't, because St Johnstone won by 2-1. Stevie May with a double, and I think obviously the second goal, but the first goal as well. I think the keeper was, it went right through him. What's he doing?
Dundee United played well. They deserved to get something out of the game. Mm-hmm. They really did. And see, when they went to 1-1, you thought there was only one winner in that game. That was going to be Dundee United. But then their goalkeeper goes and makes an absolute howler.
I mean, if you've not seen this yet, it's so bad. I don't even know what he's doing. It's like he can't see Stevie May as running towards him. And then Stevie May slides in. And then Benedetti just like lies on the ground and through sheer embarrassment gets subbed off, I think, pretending he was injured. Because there's no way he was injured. It was just so bad.
But why did he even pass it to Mulgrew in that position anyway? Mulgrew is on the edge of the box. He's got two St Johnstone strikers either side of him. And then obviously Mulgrew goes, what are you doing? Pass it back to him. Clear it first time. Why does he need to take the touch?
I've got no idea.
He takes a touch and then Stephen May slides in, scores from 2 yards, 2-1, St Johnstone. And not only is that a poor result for Dundee United, but it's also a poor result for Liam Fox, who's under all sorts of pressure for his job at Dundee United.
Yeah, because Motherwell have already been 2 managers this season. Dundee United look like they might be about to bin another one. St Johnstone, on the other hand, have turned it around.
They have.
2 wins in their last 3. They're 5 points off the top 6.
They're clear of relegation now. They're looking ahead, not looking below them.
Do you think top 6 for St Johnstone?
I mean, they've got some decent players, haven't they? With Stevie May. who can score goals for them, and Nicky Clark's in there as well. They might have a wee outside chance of getting in the top six.
Well, they're 5 points off it at the moment, and what is it, another few games until the split, so we'll see what happens. Elsewhere, cracking result for Hibs on Saturday as well, 2-0 winners against Kilmarnock. We'll get to the sending off a wee bit later on,
yes,
when we talk about the VAR stuff. But Hibs 6 unbeaten in the league, and since they lost the Hearts on the 2nd of January, 4 wins 2 draws, pretty decent.
It's very decent, isn't it? Brilliant result.
Matthew Hopp's first goal.
Good goal as well. Did you see it?
It was an assist off Lewis Mayo's face.
No, but it was a good way he turned and swiveled and shot into the back of the net. I thought he was very good. I thought Hibs were very good. Thoroughly deserved their victory. Did the sending off have an impact on the result? I'm not so sure it did, and we'll get to that in just a second. Although when you play against 10 men, it is a wee bit easier, isn't it? But I thought Hibs were the better team up to that point anyway, and thoroughly deserved their 3 points.
Kilmarnock haven't won away from home in the league this season.
Is that true?
That's true.
All season?
Yep. They've picked up 2 points.
Oh, that's a horrible record.
That's not great. No.
Do you know what? See, if they were to improve that, they'd be quite safe by now.
Yeah, but they haven't.
So their home record and their plastic pitch is helping them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an advantage for them playing on that piece of shit that's a plastic pitch at Kilmarnock.
Darren McKenna says, VAR is doing my head in. We'll hear from him.
Yeah.
A wee bit later on.
He was very angry. When we get to VAR WTF, wait until you hear Derek McInnes. He's not a happy bunny.
Okay, moving on. It was Livingston 0, Rangers 3 on Saturday. Tavernier with a couple of goals, one from the penalty spot, one from a free kick, and then Kemar Roof rounding it off as well. Tillman, Jack and Lindstrom missed the game through injury. Michael Beale says it's by no means certain that they'll make the final on Sunday.
If they don't make the final, they lose.
Okay.
That's an important part of the field. If you don't stop McGregor, you lose the final.
What about the banner that the Rangers fans put up? 2 trophies in 11 years, uphold the standards that matter. That's what it said.
That was a dig at the board.
Yeah.
That's a dig at the board. Surely it's not good enough.
Surely it's a dig at Michael Beale as well.
Surely
they're talking about the standards that he was saying that we were upholding last week with the Partick Thistle incident and all the rest of it.
Yes.
That's the standards that we uphold.
The Rangers fans are just making him aware that next week is very important and that 2 trophies in 11 years isn't good enough. And we would like to make that 3 trophies in 11 years this coming Sunday. That's the message.
Okay.
And for the Rangers players to see that and to give it their all, although it will be difficult because of their injury problems in midfield, but we'll talk about that when we look ahead to the Viaplay Cup final.
St Mirren 1, Ross County 0, final result on Saturday.
Bounce back there, St Mirren, after defeat to Motherwell during the week.
Declan Gallagher, his second goal after being called an Aberdeen reject.
Declan Gallagher's loving that St Mirren are doing better than Aberdeen, and he's having a great season, isn't he?
Yeah,
because they went up to Pittodrie and they won, didn't they? 3-2.
They did.
And Declan Gallagher was loving every second of it.
First start for Simon Murray for Ross County on Saturday. Obviously beaten, but with signings like that, do you think they'll just about having?
I said to you on Saturday during the big Saturday football show, I've got a feeling that Ross County might be all right.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that Kilmarnock are in a bit of bother. And even though Motherwell have picked up a couple of decent results, they're in a wee bit of bother still. It's still very tight.
What about Livingston? You said they would go down at the start of the season. What do you think?
Sometimes you get it right, sometimes you get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got that one wrong. They're not getting dragged into any relegation battle. Although their run of form at the moment isn't very good. Knocked out the Scottish Cup. League form has also taken a dip. I also heard from very good sources that Nubley will be sold in the summer.
Mm.
He's too good for Livingston.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's move on to yesterday. And it was Motherwell 2, Hearts 0.
Mate,
a shocking game of football, I would say, first of all. Congratulations to Motherwell, 2 wins in a week under Stuart Kettlewell. We'll start with that, and then you can get to Arse in just a wee second. Stuart Kettlewell, is he worth a shout for the Motherwell job?
No.
You know what I think?
Nah.
Why not?
I thought they were poor yesterday.
They beat Hearts.
Yeah, but they were poor.
The third best team in the country. Comfortably beat them 2-0.
It was a poor game. All round, it was awful. It was hoofball from Motherwell. I suppose you've got to do what you got to do to try and get yourself out of trouble, to get the result, to pull you away from the relegation zone. I understand that. But for me, Kettlewell's not the answer for Motherwell going forward. I think the answer is Ian Holloway. I think Ian Holloway going in there would be a brilliant appointment. Been there, done it, got the T-shirt. And not only that, Ian Holloway has got great contacts down south to bring in some players. So I think Ian Holloway is the man to get the job, or even Grant McCann.
He can't bring in players. The transfer window's
closed. No, but when he gets some to the summer,
right,
and he can do his wheeling and his dealing, then I think he would be a great appointment. So that's why Kettlewell shouldn't get it. If Ian Holloway wants it, give him it. Grant McCann would be a good signing as well. He's another boy that's in the hunt for the Motherwell job. So two decent managers who I think would do a decent job at Motherwell. I'm sorry, Stuart Kettlewell, but you're no the man.
Even though he's won two games from two.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You need to look at the bigger picture and you need to look at what's the best going forward. And I don't think Kettlewell is that guy, whereas I think Holloway is.
Holloway's not had a job in 3 years.
Doesn't matter. I mean, there's, what's his name? Harry Redknapp. He was wanting the Leeds job.
He wasn't wanting the Leeds job. I read an interview with him yesterday and he said, I don't know where that came from.
No, he said he wanted the Leeds job.
Well, he said, obviously, he was like, I would take the Leeds job if they offered me it, but I'm never going to be offered it. I haven't applied for it, is what he said.
But he's a decent manager, and it doesn't matter how long you've been at the game. That was my point. Doesn't matter how long you've been out the game.
So you want Harry Redknapp to be the Motherwell manager?
Redknapp or Holloway, I think, would be brilliant. Holloway, yeah. Do you not think Holloway would be a good manager in Scotland? Oh, come on.
I don't know.
He did a decent job. Wherever he's been, he's done a decent job. QPR, he did all right. Blackpool took him in the Premier League and kept him up as well.
If Holloway has done a decent job everywhere he's been, he would still be in employment. So that suggests he's probably not done a decent job for the last wee while.
Maybe Motherwell need a character and personality like him in the dressing room.
Do they not need someone just to win football matches like Stuart Kettlewell's done?
See, Motherwell made an error. Hamill was never ready for that Motherwell job. Holloway's ready-made for that job.
It's the job he's always dreamed of.
Is that when, what you're hearing?
When God was making Ian Holloway, he was like, you, my friend,
are the one.
You are the one for the Motherwell position.
You're the chosen one.
Let's get to the Hearts stuff. Hearts were rotten. Xander Clark all over the place as well. I know he made one really, really good save, but apart from that, I thought he looked shaky. And what's going on? The jittery jambos.
We've been pretty poor in recent weeks, but we've been getting away with it because we've been getting results. You go to that game.
Whenever I pointed that out, you didn't really.
Because you
care for that opinion.
It's hard to be critical of the team when you are winning, because at the end of the day, it's all about 3 points and winning. But see, when you don't win, then you're reminded of the poor performances that led to that defeat. And that defeat was coming. And I think it's been like that for the last 8-9 games. We've not been playing great, but we've been getting the results. Mm-hmm. The game against Dundee United at Tynecastle, that sending off, Dundee United should have been out of sight before that sending off. They were outstanding on the day. Weren't particularly great against Hamilton.
I said this and you were like, we were
embarrassing against Rangers. And then I thought we were poor against St Mirren and we drew 1-1 with them. We escaped with a 1-1 draw against St Mirren. And then yesterday, it didn't really come as a huge shock or surprise based on our recent performances. Motherwell were obviously, tails are up.
Again, that's nonsense, because I said to you on Saturday, obviously Motherwell versus Hearts tomorrow, Motherwell coming off the back of a good win. You're like, nah, Hearts have got plenty. We'll win comfortably. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
I said it would be tight, but I thought we'd win.
Yeah.
Based on, we've just got better quality. Here's a problem going forward for Hearts and for Robbie Nielsen and the management team. That 3-4-3 formation that he sticks to, it's an absolute mess. I've got no idea whether we're coming, we're going, what the style of play is. I don't know what the tactics are. We're all over the place. Snodgrass looks isolated in midfield. We get overrun in midfield. There's hunger and desire from Motherwell that we didn't show any of yesterday. Shankland and Humphreys does not work as a partnership in that formation, the 3-4-3. And when you play a 3-4-3, you're asking your wing-backs, which are Michael Smith and Alex Cochrane on the other side, to get forward and put in some deliveries for Shankland and Humphreys. We don't have enough quality in the wide areas to play that formation. Teams like Rangers, they've got quality in those positions. Tavernier can put in a cross. Barisic can put in a cross. You look at Celtic with Greg Taylor down the left, Johnson down the right. Again, quality in the full-back positions. And that's them playing 4-4-2. So if you're playing a 3-4-3 and you're asking your full-backs to get up and support and to be creative, you need a wee bit of quality. And we don't have that in Smith or Cochrane. So he needs to go back to a 4-2-3-1. That's what we need. I have no idea what position Shankland's meant to play. Humphreys was at the sharp end of the attack, and Shankland was kind of like inside right with Barry Mackay inside left to give the fullback space to get down the flanks. And then you've got Snodgrass and Cammy Devlin who are isolated in the middle of the park. It was a mess, and it's been a mess for a while, yet we've been getting away with it.
So what's the solution then?
Well, my solution is a 4-2-3-1.
So you know better than Robbie Nielsen.
100%.
You know his squad better than Robbie Nielsen.
I was on Jambo's Kickback last night, which is a Hearts forum for the fans to have their say on all things Hearts. And the fans are screaming for Robbie Nielsen to end this 3-4-3 shambles that we're playing just now. It's not suiting our players, and it's not suiting the style of play either. Go back to a back four. Sibbick and Kingsley is your centre backs. Cochrane is your left back. And you've got Michael Smith at right back. That's a solid back four. You then put Snodgrass and Devlin in the middle of the park. And then you've got a front four, a three and a one. You'd put Shanklin as your number nine. Ginelli off him, or a switch between Ginelli and Shanklin. And either side of them, you'd have a Forrest or a Barry Mackay. You know what I'm getting at here. We've got lots of options in the wide areas.
You know, I've seen a bit on Twitter this morning as well. There's been people moaning about Robbie Nielsen, saying, oh, you can't criticise Robbie Nielsen, otherwise you get your head bitten off and all the rest of it. But Robbie Nielsen's done a really good job as Hearts manager, yes?
We've got the third biggest budget in the league. We've got double the budget that Motherwell have got.
And you're going right? to comfortably finish third.
And I'm not being disrespectful to Robbie Nielsen here, but with that squad of players at my disposal, I could manage Hearts to third place. I could manage Hearts to third place with that squad of players that he's got and that budget that he's got. He's so making an error. We've got a really good team. See, when I looked at our bench yesterday, George Grant, the German lad whose name I can't pronounce, Keo, it's for short. Again, good, solid central midfielder. You've got Forrest on the bench as well. You've got Kuhl, who we got from Newcastle on the bench. He's got options galore. Yet his starting 11, he never seems to get right. And he only ever changes it in the 58th, 59th, 60th minute. And then he goes and makes the changes that he should have started with. I think he's a bit pig-headed. And I think he's sticking to what he believes in. And it's no working, Robbie. Yes, you can say, oh, we've got to third. And we're in third place. But Hibs are on our coattails. They're only 5 points behind us. Hibs, unbelievably, are right on our coattails to finish third. And if we're not careful, they'll catch us because they're playing really well just now. They've got a solid foundation. They're defensive and they've got a threat going forward. We were shambolic yesterday. And if Robbie Nielsen doesn't get the wake-up call after yesterday, then nothing will. So, Robbie, I'm telling you right now, change it.
Just to counterbalance that, last time that Robbie Nielsen left after leading you to the championship and then third in the league, how'd you get on in between there?
Well, that was Cathro.
Yep. And then
Craig Levine.
And
what's his name? What's his name?
Can't mind. The German guy.
Go and give me clues. Don't tell me. He's Austrian.
He's German.
Oh, is he German?
Pretty regular first name. I named
begins
it
with what?
D.
David.
No, but keep
Daniel
going. Is the right answer.
Oh, Daniel.
Do you want the first letter?
Yeah.
S.
Stendhal
is the right answer.
Daniel Stendhal.
Daniel Stendhal. Right, so my point was, Robbie Nielsen left to go to MK Dons and all the Hearts fans were delighted. They were like, oh my God, that's amazing. We managed to get money for him and everything. And then actually, what you brought in afterwards was terrible. So you had to bring Robbie Nielsen back to get an adult back in the room to sort things out. Now, that's exactly what he's done. Is this not part of a building process? Is it not the fact that Robbie Nielsen, yes, he's trying these things out, some might not work.
He does every week, mate.
But he's obviously trying things to try and take this team up a level. Not everything's going to work.
Have you missed the point I've just made? I, Ewan Cameron, of the Big Scottish Football Podcast, with that budget, with that squad of players, I could manage Hearts to third. It's taking us to the next step, the next level. That was a disgrace yesterday. We were all over the place. It was like we just met each other on the bus before we stepped off to go and play Motherwell. It was like we'd never been together.
And that wouldn't happen under a Ewan Cameron's house.
And here's another thing, right? We beat Hamilton the week before, 2-0. That was on the Friday night. He's had how many days to get that team prepared for the Sunday against Motherwell? Sunday, how many days is that? Sunday, 8 days? Tuesday, 9 days?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 8 days.
8 days. And that's what we've been working on. That's not good enough. It really isn't. Robbie Nielsen needs to pull his finger out and make a few changes because it's an absolute diabolical mess what happened yesterday.
Let's drop down into the Championship. A couple of games on Friday night. Morton beating Dundee by a goal to nil. So Dundee missing the chance to go top with a win there because Queen's Park drew with Raith Rovers. And that means that Queen's Park ended up extending their lead over Dundee to 2 points. But Dundee do have a game in hand.
But it's also like Queen's Park don't want to win the league.
I don't think anyone wants to win the Championship
so
at this
weird.
Stage. Because on Saturday, Ayr United lost at home to Partick Thistle.
It's bizarre.
Like, so it's just all over the place. So Partick Thistle, obviously Chris Doolan in temporary charge there as well. Is he the man to take them forward?
Well, he got a win on Saturday, so that'll help him get the job if he's going to keep it until the end of the season.
Do you think it's good getting someone like that in, somebody who knows the club?
Knows the club, been there, done it, got the T-shirt and is loved by the fans, scored loads of goals for them.
Like Stevie Hamill at Motherwell, for example.
Yeah, but they need this moment to find the next manager. So he's in charge until then. But if he does a good job,
like Stevie Hamill did when he first came in, yeah.
I know what game you're playing here, right?
I'm not
playing any game. No, you're playing a silly game, right? Right. Chris Doolan's come in, and he's done a good job so far because he got a really good win against Ayr United. They want to get into the playoffs, and there's a good chance that Partick Thistle could get into the playoffs. They've got a decent squad, and I thought they were actually very good against Rangers in that 3-2 defeat in the Scottish Cup. Doolan is not the man going forward, but I'm talking between now and the end of the season. If he can get the job done and get them into the playoffs, and even if he gets them into the playoffs, they're not going to get promotion. Mm-hmm. But even then, well done, but you're not the man to take us forward.
Okay,
and we're going to get somebody more experienced in.
So you think, given what you've just said there about Partick Thistle, Stuart Kettlewell should get to the end of the season, keep them safe, and then they should get somebody else in the summer?
Yes.
You think that's what should
happen? Unless Holloway wants it right now.
Because he was born ready for it. He was born ready for the job. He wanted to spend his time in North Lanarkshire.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, Cove Rangers 1, Arbroath 1. So Cove staying 8th, 4 points ahead of Arbroath in the relegation playoff spot. That was a big, big equaliser for Arbroath because they were looking very bad until that late equaliser.
Still in with a chance of saving themselves, but I think they're done. I think Cove Rangers, last couple of results, they're fine.
Do you think so? They're only 4 points ahead of Arbroath.
I think that Paul Hartley has got in their ear. He's sorted out the mess and the shambles that they were in. They were conceding goals left, right and centre. Last couple of weeks, they've done all right. I think they'll be fine.
Hamilton.
They're going to get out of it.
They won 3-0 against Inverness on Saturday. Inverness, by the way, who went to Livingston and beat Livingston at Livingston 3-0 last week in the Scottish Cup. So Hamilton are on a brilliant run of form. It looks like surely they're going to stay up.
They'll stay up, and I think Cove will go into the playoffs, but Cove will do all right in the playoffs and they'll stay up as well.
Who was your man who wanted us to talk about Morton more?
Ewan Boyle, who's a former press officer at Morton.
So Ewan Boyle?
Yes.
That's definitely him.
That's 100% him.
So this is the Ewan Boyle Morton section of the show, which we'll do every single week from now on.
Yes.
The Ewan Boyle Morton section.
Because he's a former media officer at Morton, and who's now at Strathclyde Uni.
Specifically asked that we speak about Morton more. So we'll make it its own dedicated section, the Ewan Boyle Morton section. Congratulations to Morton with their win against Dundee on Friday night, which pushes them up to fourth in the table on 37 points, a point ahead of Partick Thistle, and only two behind Ayr United as well. So there you are. That's the Ewan Boyle Morton section of the show. In League One this weekend, it was Clyde 1, Peterhead 0. So that moves Clyde 3 points clear of the automatic relegation spot, and Peterhead dropped to the bottom under new boss David Robertson. Elsewhere, Dunfermline 1, Airdrie 1. So that is 4 points from 6 against Airdrie the past couple of weeks. I'm fairly happy with that. It looked like it was going to be 3 points again, but Dunfermline missed a late penalty, which means it was a share of the spoils. Falkirk beating Alloa by a goal to nil. Falkirk beating Alloa by a goal to nil. They managed to cling on.
There was no clinging on. Do you see the stats for that game?
They're 8 points clear of Airdrie, only 5 behind Dunfermline.
With 2 games to play against Dunfermline, win those 2 games, Falkirk are top of the league.
They're not going to win those
so
2
you,
games.
So you've opened the door for Falkirk. You've given them a wee bit of hope.
Falkirk play Airdrie away this Saturday. That's a huge match.
Huge. And you are playing?
We are playing Queen of the South away from home.
Oh, tricky. under Marvin Bartley.
Kelty Hearts 3, Queen of the South 0 on Saturday, so not ideal there. Kelty are only 3 points away from 6th and 7 points off the playoffs now. They are well clear of all the rubbish at the bottom. And it finished Montrose 3, FC Edinburgh 3. So Edinburgh back up into the playoffs with that point as well. So we'll see what happens.
Very tight
the season. It is very tight for the playoff spot. Finally, in League 2 at the weekend, it was Annan 2, Stirling Albion 2. Stirling coming from 2 goals down to get a point there, and they played most of the game with 10 men as well. East Fife 2, Dumbarton 0, so a defeat for the league leaders, which means Stirling managed to close the gap by a point. Elsewhere, Elgin City 0, Stranraer 1. Elgin City to Stranraer, that must be the longest journey in Scottish football.
How long is it?
Must be.
Well, let's have a guess then while producer Chris looks at the answer.
Okay.
Stranraer to Elgin.
Stranraer is basically in Ireland, right? I think
that. How many miles are you giving?
Are we going round trip? Are we going?
No, just one way.
One way.
So if you're travelling from Stranraer to Elgin, how long would it take you? Not how long, how many miles is it?
How many miles? I will go for,
I'm going to say 220 miles.
I'm going to go slightly less than that. I'll go 197 miles. The answer, 269 miles.
I win that.
You do win that. Well done. So that means you and Cameron, as a round trip, 269 times two is?
It's over 500.
Yeah, but specifically, what is it?
520 something?
No.
530. 40?
538.
538.
538. There we go.
How many hours is that to drive that?
5 hours 31.
5 hours 31 from Stranraer to Elgin?
Have you been to Stranraer before?
No.
It's honestly so far away. It's so far away.
You don't recommend it?
I mean, when you get there, it's fine. It's just like a wee town on the sea.
What are the people like?
Nice enough, yeah. Nice. I went up a couple of times.
They don't want to eat you?
No, they've got quite a weird accent in Stranraer.
How does that accent go?
You know who's from Stranraer? Kevin Kyle.
Yeah, I've spoke to him a few times, right?
Is that a weird voice, a weird accent. Yes. Like, and they all speak like that, and it's all very strange. So, hello to all our Stranraer listeners who are listening to us for the final time, probably after that. So let's move on, shall we? La gente está muy loca. What the fuck? Right, VRWTF. Let's start with the Rangers match.
Oh.
Morelos, the shirt pull, initially not called, overturned to a penalty. Was it a penalty?
No. And I'm not just saying that because I'm pals with James Penrice and his mum, but I thought it was harsh.
I thought it was a penalty. I thought it was stupid. Like, he pulls his shirt.
But he's not ripping off his back, is he?
You can't do that, though. Like, I just think it's a really stupid thing to do.
If you're saying that's a penalty, then every corner kick, there's going to be a penalty and there's going to be 10 in a game.
Aye.
What do you mean, aye?
What do I mean? I mean.
Well, you
shouldn't do that.
Well, you might as well just have a penalty shootout competition instead of playing a game of football.
I thought it was stupid. I thought it was a penalty.
If that was given against you, you'd be raging. You would be.
I don't think I would. I genuinely don't think I would.
In
be.
A World Cup final, Scotland are playing England.
Yep.
And Andy Robertson does that to Harry Kane.
Yeah.
And he gives a penalty after looking at VAR.
I'd be like, what are you doing, Andy Robertson? What a stupid thing to do.
Shut up.
I genuinely thought it was
It's harsh, man. He held it with his forefinger and his thumb. He gave it a wee tug.
I actually thought the second yellow was very harsh.
I agree with David Martindale on that one.
I thought
that was very harsh. I mean, Rangers were easily the better team. Again, it was comfortable for them. The penalty turns the game slightly, although I still think Rangers would go in and win it.
Yeah.
But that gives them the wee the boost to go 1-0 in at half time, and then they get the second yellow card as well. So,
Celtic penalty overturned after Jota was called for offside. It was initially awarded. I think everyone can see that he was offside. I think everyone was just a bit like, why is this taking so long?
Even with the naked eye, you can see he's offside.
Yeah.
Why do they have to draw lines?
Yeah.
You can just look at it. You don't need to draw a line. Just confirm that he's offside and get on with the game. It took too long.
So, Kyle Vassell sent off for Kilmarnock at Easter Road on Saturday. It was initially given as a yellow.
It's one of the worst VAR decisions this season,
I think.
No, don't you dare say it.
I can see why they've given a red card for that. I don't think it was. I think it was a yellow card.
Okay, you say you can see it, right? Okay, let me just put this to you. If John Beaton, who is the referee, after seeing it for the first time, goes in his pocket and he gives him a straight red, right?
Well, I gave him a yellow.
If he gave him a straight red, I can see why he would have done that on first viewing, on first instant. He gets the benefit of the doubt because he can go and look at it on VAR. Mm-hmm. He can then go, right, okay, maybe if I made a mistake, they're going to have a look at it. So not only does he get it wrong to begin with the yellow card, because I don't even think it's a yellow card.
I think it is.
It's not a yellow card. It's not. Doesn't even touch the heads, boy.
I think he's
flicking the ball over his head, even gets the ball.
I've been reading the IFAB rules, which you're very fond of quoting. That would class as dangerous play because
connect with him?
His foot's very high.
Did he connect?
According to the IFAB rules, that doesn't matter.
So John Beaton gives a yellow card.
So wait a minute, are you a fan of the IFAB rules or are you not a fan of the IFAB rules?
The IFAB rules are there for a reason, but then you also have to take some common sense.
Yeah.
Or a common sense approach to certain decisions. Not every high boot is a red card, and that is not a red card.
I thought it was a yellow card.
So John Beaton gives a yellow. That was his first instinct. Let me give a yellow. Somebody in the VAR room goes, I think you might have got that one wrong. Do you want to go and have a wee look at that again? John Beaton goes and have a look. And I actually thought he's going to come back and go, nah, I'm sticking with my yellow. It's fine. He gives him a red. Preposterous. Scandalous.
Well, Derek McInnes was not a happy boy.
You're in a sanitised room 50 odd mile away watching that over and over again. And they're saying to the referee, you need to have a look at that. And that's a red card or whatever. Game's going mad. That is not a red card. You know, I'm sick to death as far. It's our turn this week. There'll be somebody else probably in Scotland suffered today as well. And you know a dangerous challenge. You know a red card offence. You can sniff it. It was ridiculous. And we've seen loads of them recently.
I didn't sniff anything. He's bang on the money there. And Derek McInnes clearly wanted to say a lot more there. He was holding back. We can hear the anger in his voice. And as much as VAR have made mistakes since it's been introduced into Scottish football, the stats will show this actually improved the game and we've got more goals from it. But when they do get it wrong, they get it spectacularly wrong. And John Beaton, what are you thinking, my man? You got it right to begin with. Even I thought yellow was harsh, but it was yellow at most.
I thought it was a yellow. And yeah, they'll obviously appeal that. And I think if they do win the appeal, which I think they will.
They will.
That'll be the second time this season that John Beaton has done this exact same thing where he's gone across, looked at the monitor, sent somebody off, and then they've appealed it and then it's been rescinded.
Yeah. So it's going to happen again. So Beaton's going to have two decisions that he thought were red cards go against him.
But he didn't think they were red cards initially.
To begin with.
Why is he so easily persuaded by VAR?
Crazy. Stick with what you think. Stick with what was your gut instinct at the time.
Yeah, there was also the Ross County sending off on Saturday over at Edwards getting sent off. So initially missed by the ref, upgraded to a red card. Yeah. It was a 2-foot challenge on Carson. Got that one right?
Yeah, got that one right.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Okie dokie, it was Valentine's Day last week, so we posted on our Twitter feed at Big Football Scott. Give us your best shouts for if Scottish football were Valentine's Day. Unfortunately, all we got was porno answers, so it was ridiculous. I mean, some of them were not bad. Let's go through the ones we can actually read out. Hello to Michael Montagnani, who says, Cammy Valentine's Day. Bottle of Rowan Vine, because you might have a bottle of wine with your Valentine's date.
I got my wife a bottle of wine for Valentine's Day.
Ricky Spence says, Romantic Bednar. Roman Bednar.
Roman Bednar is a good player, I liked him. He scored a great header against Rangers at the near post when we were going for the league title under George Burley. I was there that day. I was in the media box and I jumped in the media box, which is really quite unprofessional for somebody in the media to be jumping around like a fan.
You are quite unprofessional.
Yeah, I'm not apologising for it.
Cameron Garter and Knickers. Not bad.
That's not bad.
Tony, what about it, Hen? And really, it descends into chaos from now on. Jamie Brennan says, Serenading McGeady.
Serenading McGeady, Aidan McGeady, serenade. Yeah. I've never serenaded my wife. Have you ever serenaded your wife?
No, I've not.
You never got down on your knee and sang to her?
No, not at all.
I've always been tempted to do that scene from Top Gun. You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips.
Show us your Willy column. Ibrox of chocolates. And the Winch Premiership.
The Winch Premiership.
That's from Jamie Brennan as well.
Do we still winch? See, when you've been with somebody for so long, do you still winch?
A good winch. Yeah, I don't know.
How long you been with your wife now?
2 years.
Do you still winch?
Well, I barely see her because she's
in America.
She's in America, so that makes it a lot more difficult.
Yeah. Do you winch online?
No.
Like FaceTime winch?
No.
Winch
no.
is not.
No. Craig says Paul shagging bottom. Again, like. D Hughes says hoping for your Carlton Cole. Sasa Hans, Ali McMoist. Chris Bett says Stonor Goldson. Stephen Pumphreys. And Yanis Shaggy. Crikey G says Alfredo Morelovs. Morelovs. Nicholas Raskin, you out on a date. And Leon Kinky. Jamie Mack says Martin Shaghorn. Jerry Taylor says Cameron Carter, edible knickers. Brian Roberts, Charlie Nicholas, Nicholas.
Nicholas,
Joe Hart, loads of Joe Harts, obviously. Alexander Wilson, Kyogo Jelly, or KY Yogo Jelly. Christ. Oh, God almighty. Alexander Wilson as well. Emilio Jizagiri. JD says Willie Flood. Brian Stalker, Peter Lovenhands. Simon McQueenie, he says Bolly Bullen get your holy. And Sam McElwain says if Scottish football were Valentine's Day, we'd all be heartbroken and single. So there you are. Who's today's winner? You and Cameron.
Wasn't very good.
I mean, it was filth. That's what it was.
They're all winners.
They're all winners.
Yeah,
well
you're
done.
All winners.
Well done.
Well done to everybody. Thanks for taking part.
You horny bastards. The lot of you. For next week's podcast, we want to know your best suggestions for if Scottish football were a crisp. Okay?
I like a kettle crisp.
Okay.
Oh, Stuart, kettle crisp well.
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought.
You did a good. Well done.
Stuart,
well done.
Kettle crisp well.
You did a funny. Well done, you. Other examples include Nick Nakamura's. Nick Nakamura's.
Yes, yeah, I like Nick Nakamura's. Yeah.
Tony Watsett's.
Yes.
Gary Hula Hoops. Ours.
I did down commentary.
Gary Hula Hoopers.
I said, hoop, hoop, hooray for Celtic. When Celtic scored against Rangers.
Cheese and Omeyonga.
Cheesy Omeyonga. Cheesy Omeyonga.
Cheese and Omeyonga.
What's cheese and Omeyonga?
Like cheese and onion.
Oh.
Bojan me off skips. Right. I'm sorry, it's not producer Chris, it's intern Chris now after that. No puns on not your forte, Chris. And,
clearly.
You've just proven that very, very clearly.
Thankfully, our punters will know exactly what to do with
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So keep an eye on our Twitter feed at BigFootballScott, and we'll put a post up and you can leave your suggestions underneath that.
Stuart Kettlewell, Chip.
Let's have a wee look ahead to the weekend coming, the Viaplay Cup final at Hampden.
Great game in prospect.
Rangers versus Celtic. Who wins?
Rangers have got problems in midfield. It's well documented just now. And if you stop Callum McGregor playing, you've got a great chance of winning the cup final. Rangers did that really well against Celtic at Ibrox in the 2-2 game. I think if they can stop McGregor and they can get a couple of players back, Rangers have a great chance. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be tight. I think it could even go to extra time. Could even go to penalties. I think it's going to be a good game, though. I think it'll be end-to-end. First trophy of the season up for grabs. Celtic going for the treble because they're clearly going to win the league unless something dramatic happens there. And they're in a great position to win the Scottish Cup. They've got a tricky tie against Hearts, but the way Hearts are playing just now, they'll pump us. So, yeah, great game. Intriguing game. Both teams unbeaten since Michael Beale came into power. So somebody's got to lose. Something's got to give. And I wouldn't put any money on either of them because I think it's too close to call. So I'll watch as a fan, but I won't be betting on it.
Okay.
Because I don't know who's going to win it.
Who's it more important for?
Beale. Beale needs it.
You think he needs it more than...
Needs it way more than Ange Postecoglou because he's got the league in the bag. He's got Champions League to look forward to again next season. He's already won the league at Celtic. They're playing the best brand of football in Scotland just now. There's a lot going right for Celtic. Yeah, the Celtic fans would be upset, angry and annoyed if they don't win the first part of the treble that they hope to get this year. But for that reason, I think Beale needs to win this to stop any chance of Celtic winning the treble.
So you think all the pressure's on Rangers?
All the pressure's on Rangers and Michael Beale. And I think the Rangers fans' sign at Livingston has added to that pressure, reminding them, we've only had two trophies in 11 years. Get your act together. We need this trophy on Sunday.
If Celtic were to win on Sunday, where would that leave Michael Beale and Rangers? Would it just be get to the end of the season?
Win the Scottish Cup. They'll be right, Scottish Cup next, and get closer to Celtic in the league. It won't change anything at Rangers. As long as they're competitive and they're in it and there's nothing in it.
I mean, Michael Beale is... I know the performances haven't always been all that good.
No, they haven't.
But you can't really argue with the results. He's only dropped points
against Celtic.
Against Celtic, and he's won every other match.
And a lot of Rangers managers have turned up at Livingston and struggled. He won that quite comfortably on Saturday, 3-0. So yeah, they're heading in the right direction. They made some interesting signings. I like Cantwell. Raskin looks all right. So I think we're in for a cracking game on Sunday. But I'm not going to predict who's going to win because I've not got a clue. Do you want to predict?
I think it'll be very tight. Yeah. I agree with you. I think it could go extra time, penalties.
I mean, they've got players in the forward areas on both sides that can hurt you. Cantwell, Kent, Sakala, Morelos, Colak. And then you look at Celtic and the options that they've got up front with Maeda, Kyogo, Jota, Abada, Maeda. Yeah, they've got some great options, haven't they, as well? So yeah, I think there'll be goals and I think it'll be a good game.
Okay, okay. Any other business? What you got on this week?
Is that the last thing we're talking about?
Last thing we're talking about, yep.
Nah, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm all good. You're leaving us on Thursday.
I'm leaving us on Thursday, don't worry, I will be back. But
you're away to see your wife.
I'm away.
It's a way to snog.
Yeah, exactly, wait for a winch. And then, who you got next week? You need a guest host.
Who could I ask?
Ask anyone you want, I don't really care.
Because I don't really want to host it, I'd rather just sit where I'm sitting now. But do I have to host it?
You'll need to host it, I'm afraid.
A nightmare.
Yeah, so you'll need somebody.
I have no idea who we're going to get to replace you, mate.
Yeah.
You're a hard one to replace.
Irreplaceable, you know, I'm like Ian Holloway, you know. This has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thank you as always, you and Cameron. A huge thank you to you for all listening as well. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on whichever podcast provider you use so you don't miss a podcast. You can rate us as well. Give us 5 stars. That'd be really good.
Lots of people have.
Yeah, lots of people have. So please do that. And keep an eye on our socials for If Scottish Football Were Crisps. Get your tweets in. We'll be back at the usual time next week with another brand new episode of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Won't be me though. It'll be you and Cameron and a mystery guest. Find out who it is next week.
No idea.
On the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Bye-bye. See you in a few.